fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
There are so many stories to get to today. We're going to mainly focus on the Mueller report and just kind of go through that as it happened. We're going to go through that today. Also, we have a special tonight on Ilhan Omar. You get a 20% discount just by using Glenn20 as the promo code if you go to blazetv.com. This is something you don't want to miss. We're going to have one of the authors of one of the stories that really did a lot of the legwork on this story. He'll be on today. Also on radio, we are going to have Tom Fitton. He's the president of Judicial Watch. They have just filed an ethics complaint against Ilhan Omar over the potential immigration, marriage, tax, and student loan fraud that we will be explaining tonight. We'll talk to him about that. And, I mean, there is still more on the the transgendered woman who wanted someone to wax her Romney, and we'll get to that as well, all on today's show.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
First, let's address something that maybe you are dealing with. I hope you're not, but if you are, there is help. It's pain, constant, nagging, awful, I can't live this way anymore kind of pain. I'm in that kind of pain, or have been in that kind of pain. I was in that kind of pain for probably, 8 years. And I got to the point where I'm like, I can't. I mean, I'm in my 50s. I don't want to be like that. What am I going to be like when I'm 90? I can't live this way. Most people think they have to live this way. You don't. Please. I've met with members of the audience who are veterans who just couldn't get out of bed because of pain. They just couldn't take it anymore. I understand. Please just try Relief Factor. I swear to you, I said this the other day. I feel like I'm begging you, but I really am, because I know me. I was stubborn. I didn't want to take it. I didn't want to try it. It's not going to work. Why try it? Why try it? Because if it works like it has for me, you get your life back. It is so well worth just trying it. If you happen to be a wife of a really stubborn man like I am, do what my wife did. Just take it. I'm not going to listen to you whine about it anymore if you don't just try it. You got to try it. All right. All right, so relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Go there, just try it for 3 weeks. Get their 3-week quick start. If it works, you're out of pain, you have your life back. If it doesn't, yes, you're out $20, but 70% of the people who try it go on to order more month after month. I take it 3 times a day as directed, and it works for me. Relieffactor.com, that's relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. All right, if we can bring up the Mueller testimony just a little bit so we can talk over it and hear if there's anything interesting when he gets to questions or answers. But
page 2 of volume 2,
oh boy,
reads as follows. The evidence we obtained about the president's actions and intent presents difficult issues that prevent us from conclusively determining that no criminal conduct occurred. Accordingly, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. Now, I read that correctly?
Yes.
All right. Now, your report, and today you said at all times the special counsel team operated under, was guided by, and followed Justice Department policies and principles. So which DOJ policy or principle sets forth a legal standard that an investigated person is not exonerated if their innocence from criminal conduct is not conclusively determined?
That's a question
by
Congressman Ratcliffe.
Yeah. Which DOJ policy or principle set forth a legal standard that an investigated person is not exonerated if their innocence from criminal conduct is not conclusively determined? Where does that language come from, Director? Where is the DOJ policy that says that? Let me make it easier.
Go ahead.
Can you give me an example other than Donald Trump where the Justice Department determined that an investigated person was not exonerated because their innocence was not conclusively determined?
I cannot, but this is a unique situation.
Okay, well, you can't. Time is short. I've got 5 minutes. Let's just leave it at you can't find it, because I'll tell you why. It doesn't exist. The special counsel's job, nowhere does it say that you were to conclusively determine Donald Trump's innocence or that the special counsel...
By the way, this is Ratcliffe.
...determine whether or not to exonerate him.
From
it's not
Texas,
in any of the documents. It's not in your appointment order. It's not in the special counsel regulations. It's not in the OLC opinions. It's not in the justice manual. And it's not in the principles of federal prosecution. Nowhere do those words appear together, because respectfully, Director, it was not the special counsel's job to conclusively determine Donald Trump's innocence or to exonerate him. Because the bedrock principle of our justice system is a presumption of innocence. It exists for everyone. Everyone is entitled to it, including sitting presidents. And because there is a presumption of innocence, prosecutors never, ever need to conclusively determine it. Now, Director, the special counsel applied this inverted burden of proof that I can't find and you said doesn't exist anywhere in the department policies, and you used it to write a report. And the very first line of your report, says, and you, as you read this morning, it authorizes the special counsel to provide the attorney general with a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions reached by the special counsel. That's the very first word of your report, right?
That's correct.
Here's the problem, Director. The special counsel didn't do that. On volume one, you did. On volume two, with respect to potential obstruction of justice, the special counsel made neither a prosecution decision or a declination decision. You made no decision. You told us this morning and in your report that you made no determination. So respectfully, Director, you didn't follow the special counsel regulations. It clearly says, write a confidential report about decisions reached. Nowhere in here does it say, write a report about decisions that weren't reached. You wrote 180 pages about decisions that weren't reached, about potential crimes that weren't charged or decided. And respectfully, by doing that, you managed to violate every principle and the most sacred of traditions about prosecutors not offering extra prosecutorial analysis about potential crimes that aren't charged. So Americans need to know this as they listen to the Democrats and socialists on the other side of the aisle, as they do dramatic readings.
Thank you, Texas.
This report, that volume two of this report was not authorized under the law to be written. It was written to a legal standard that does not exist at the Justice Department. And it was written in violation of every DOJ principle about extra prosecutorial commentary. I agree with the chairman this morning when he said Donald Trump is not above the law. He's not. But he damn sure shouldn't be below the law, which is where volume two of this report puts him.
All really good points by Ratcliffe. I would have liked to have heard
Mike
Mueller's
response.
Chairman, answer there. But
oh, no, now we go to another Texan, Sheila Jackson Lee.
The Trump campaign chair, Paul Manafort, was passing sensitive voter information and polling data to a Russian operative. And there were so many other ways that Russia subverted our democracy. Together with the evidence in Volume 1, I cannot think of a more serious need to investigate. So now I'm going to ask you some questions about obstruction of justice as it relates to Volume 2.
Why is she wearing, like, Napoleon's jacket?
You state, we determined that there were sufficient factual and legal basis to further investigate potential...
All she has to do is stick her hand into the jacket and she's Napoleon.
Is that correct?
You put some tassels on her hair, and it looks like his hat, too.
And which portion of that page?
That is, we determined that there was a sufficient factual and legal basis to further investigate potential obstruction of justice issues.
She doesn't know where it is on the page because someone pulled
correct?
The quote for her and put it on a separate page.
Your report also describes at least 10 separate instances of possible obstruction of justice that were investigated by you and your team. Is that correct?
Yes.
In fact, the table of contents serves as a very good guide of some of the acts.
There is a Wikipedia.
There is a table of contents. Is that correct, sir? Yes. And that serves as a guide to find what you wrote. Is that correct, sir? Yes.
These numbers seem to be page numbers identifying where these pieces of the report exist.
Yes.
Is that correct, yes. Mr. Mueller?
Yes.
Okay. The president's orders, Don McGahn, to deny that the president tried
are those
to
same numbers on pages later in your report.
I direct you now to what you wrote, Director Mueller. The president's pattern of conduct as a whole sheds light on the nature of the president's acts and the inferences that can be drawn about his intent. Does that mean you have to investigate all of his conduct to ascertain true motive?
No.
And when you talk about the president's pattern of conduct that include the 10 possible acts of obstruction that you investigated, is that correct?
Jacket.
When you talk about the president's pattern of conduct, that
she's
would
dressed like a British
of obstruction that you investigated, correct?
Revolutionary War soldier.
To the report for how that is characterized.
Thank you. Let me go to the screen again. And for each of those 10 potential instances of obstruction of justice, you analyze three elements of the crime of obstruction of justice: an obstructive act, a nexus between the act and an official proceeding, and corrupt intent. Is that correct?
Yes.
You wrote on page 178, volume 2, in your report.
Oh, God. Okay, so this is a strategy, though, Glenn, and it's important to understand what Democrats are doing. What they believe is that the American people have not read this report. They don't know what's in it, and it would be damning.
Yeah.
So what they're going to do is read sections from the report, basically pick the things that look worse for Trump, the worst things they can find, and then just have Mueller say, yes, that is what I said.
Right.
So, like, it's giving them, they're trying to get these viral moments out of reading the report, because they know he's not going to say anything additional. This is why this is such a circus.
Can you please get the theme from Barry Lyndon, because I need it under Sheila Jackson Lee as I'm just watching it. This is not a viral moment.
No.
At all. And I don't think the American people are really interested. I think Congress is interested in this, and I think for all the wrong reasons, the media is interested in this. But I don't think you're going to find anything from Mueller today that is new at all. And you're just going to solidify people's positions of where they already are.
I would like to hear, and at some point I'm sure they'll get back to it, I would love to hear Mueller's response to the questions from Ratcliffe.
Me too.
Like, hey, you know, you invented this new thing where it's not innocent or guilty. It's, well, we couldn't prove the guilt, so... we couldn't prove the innocence, so maybe he was guilty. That new legal standard, I'd love to hear that one explained from Mueller at some point, and hopefully we get to that today.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I doubt it. All right, I'm going to pause for just a second just to tell you about 23andMe. It's our sponsor this half hour. If you're a fan of trivia, here's a little nugget that has been floating around for a while. Did you know that 16 million people on the planet today are directly related to Genghis Khan? Now, that is a surprisingly large number. When you consider that in the 13th century, Khan was blazing a trail of violent conquest across much of Eastern Asia. Apparently, one of his favorite things to do after a hard day of burning and pillaging was to spend time with the ladies often against their will. But he spent a lot of time with the ladies. So here's a question. Are you related to Genghis Khan? Does your heart beat with a thundering rhythm of the warrior? Do you feel like you were made for something greater? Like you should be out riding a horse and shooting arrows rather than sitting at your desk? Do you stand outdoors facing east and think, I bet I could take Dave's house if I really tried? Sounds like you might have some soul searching to do, but you also might want to find out if you're a direct descendant of Genghis Khan. 23andMe can help you do it. In addition to finding out whether you're, you know, descended from that bloodthirsty killer, 23andMe will also offer the state-of-the-art look at the part of your genes and what it plays in your everyday life. For instance, if you've always suspected that you feel sleepier than others after missing a night's sleep, you're probably not imagining things. Your genes could be involved. 23andMe. Their reports don't diagnose diseases or describe overall likelihood of developing any disease. But 23andMe tests selected gene variants, and they will tell you what you might be predisposed to. 23andMe/Beck. Important test information. Order your health and ancestry kit at 23andMe.com/Beck. Let me say it this way in case you are related to Genghis Khan. Order it or I'll kill you. Number 23andMe.com/Beck. 10 seconds, station ID. Man, the council here they spent 2 hours yesterday, the Democrats, in a closed-door session, rehearsing and practicing. Now we go to Mr. Sensenbrenner and his cross-examination of Mueller.
Pages in raw evidentiary material, including hundreds of references to 302, which are interviews by the FBI, for individuals who've never been cross-examined and which did not comply with the special counsel's governing regulation to explain the prosecution or declination decisions reached, correct?
And where are you reading from on that?
I'm reading from my question.
Then could you repeat it?
Okay. You have 182 pages of raw evidentiary material with hundreds of references to 302s who were never been cross-examined and which didn't comply with the governing regulation to explain the prosecution or declination decisions reached.
This is one of those areas which I decline to discuss.
I
would direct you to the report itself.
Okay. I looked at 182 pages of it. You know, let me switch gears.
Doesn't it kind of look like something that would be happening at a nursing home?
Yes.
Like, and let me tell you something else. Well, I don't know. You'd have to check the papers for that.
It could be a sequel to Las Vegas. Yeah. This scene happens in
Grumpy Old Men.
A number of occasions in his report stated that the President Clinton's actions may have risen to impeachable conduct, recognizing that it is up to the House of Representatives to determine what conduct is impeachable. You never used the term raising to impeachable conduct for any of the 10 instances that the gentlewoman from Texas did. Is it true that there is nothing in Volume 2 of the report that says that the president may have engaged in impeachable conduct?
Well, kept in the center of our investigation our mandate. And our mandate does not go to other ways of addressing conduct. Our mandate goes to developing the report turning the report into the Attorney General.
With due respect, it seems to me, that there are a couple of statements that you made, that said that this is not for me to decide, and the implication is that this is for this committee to decide. Now, you didn't use the word impeachable conduct like Starr did. There was no statute to prevent you from using the word impeachable conduct. Mm. And I go back to what Mr. Radcliffe said, is that even the president is innocent until proven guilty. My time is up.
Gentlemen's time has expired. The gentleman from Tennessee.
That's a really good point. Do you understand what he was trying to say here? All right, well, then you don't need me, I guess.
Well, you have the whole audience you could explain it to. It is your job.
I can't hear them. Go ahead, everybody that needs to. What he said there was, now I can't remember.
Wow. By the way, just to remind you, Glenn, nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame this year.
what he was saying there was, look, you can put opinions out there and say it's up for this committee because impeachment is your own standard. But you didn't say impeachment. Mm-hmm. You were talking about possible crimes. And Well, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you could look at it this way, you could look at it that way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's putting the president below the law.
Right. And he's also making the point that, sure, hey, Ken Starr did see it as impeachable. He put it in his report.
Right.
Why didn't you put it in yours?
Correct.
And, of course,
the
implication is there that it wasn't impeachable. He didn't agree with that per se. Also, they were old.
He wasn't pleased. This is Mr. Cohen.
Special counsel, and particularly you, because of your outstanding reputation.
Democrat.
Correct.
Prior to your appointment, the Attorney General recused himself from the investigation because of his role in the 2016 campaign. Is that not correct?
Correct.
Recusal means the Attorney General could not be involved in the investigation. Is that correct?
That's the effect of recusal, yes.
And so instead, another Trump appointee, as you know Mr. Sessions was, Mr. Rosenstein became in charge of it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wasn't Attorney General Sessions following the rules and professional advice of the Department of Justice ethics folks when he recused himself from the investigation?
Yes.
And yet the president repeatedly expressed his displeasure at Sessions' decision to follow those ethics rules to recuse himself from oversight of that investigation. Is that not correct?
That's accurate based on what is written in the report.
And the president's reaction to the recusal is noted in the report. Mr. Bannon recalled that the president was mad as Bannon had ever seen him, and he screamed at McGahn about how weak Sessions was. Do you recall that from the report?
That's in the report, yes.
Despite knowing that Attorney General Sessions was supposed
this
to be...
This is ridiculous. This is, I mean, this is really...
It's in the report.
The president's still trying yes. to get the
yeah,
Attorney
it's in the
General
yes.
unrecused
yes.
himself.
And of course, right. it's just a show. Again, it's the Hollywood yeah, it for is. Ugly that's people correct. Thing,
it
right?
Is.
Like, that's what... This is a show.
Right.
And they're trying to just read from the report questions they know are in the report.
Right. So here's the thing. We could just take the Republicans... because they're saying something new, and then you could read the report, you know, if you want to hear, yes, you just read the report. Back in just a second.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Man alive, you know what makes all of this worth doing every day? Sitting in this chair every day, coming in, the X chair. X-Chair is so good for your back and your body. You will be comfortable as you're sitting in your chair doing whatever it is that you do. And if you're working in a cubicle, I'm sorry. Sorry, dude. I know that you didn't grow up thinking, man, if I could just take this cubicle, that bull by the horns. But you know what? You might as well be really comfortable in it, and it'll make you feel much, much better about going to work every day. It's an X chair, really comfortable X chair. It's got 10 different settings. Stu was really thrilled with the chair just in the factory settings. And then I went, you know, you can move that. What? It's really a great chair. X chair. Experience for yourself. 30-day money back guarantee. It's xchairbeck.com. You can call them at 844-4XChair or see all of the different models from the X Basic to the X1 through X4 at xchairbeck.com. Use the promo code XWheels.
Every other show is going to be reviewing Mueller all night tonight. Not us.
Yeah, not us, no.
It's Ilhan Omar special. Go to blazetv.com. Use the code Glenn20. Yes, save $20.
That's true.
Man, I'm really excited to welcome a brand new sponsor to the show, Tecovas. I know how ridiculous a great pair of boots can cost. Tecovas makes great boots and accessories. They sell their boots directly to the customer, so their boots are half the price of anything that's even similar in quality. They're all handmade with a 200-step process with only the best materials. Their entire line honors the timeless traditional boot styles. No silly stitching or sequins or loud colors or anything else. These are just great boots like my grandfather would have worn. With Tecovas, there's no need to break them in. They arrive already ready to be worn immediately, comfortably. They're easy to order with tremendous customer service. Tecovas always has free shipping and free returns. Check out their boots and their clothing and accessories right now. Tecovas.com/Beck. That's TECOVAS.com/Beck. So we have, we're just covering the Mueller report and the questioning of Robert Mueller, and this is now a question. Let's bring this up. This is Hank Johnson.
Oh, correct.
And in fact, Don McGahn advised
quite possibly the dumbest congressman we have.
Just saying something.
Yeah, it is.
There's a lot of dumb ones.
Isn't that true?
I refer to the report on that episode.
Well, page 85 of volume 2 speaks to that. And also, Director Mueller, DOJ ethics officials confirmed that you had no conflicts that would prevent you from serving as special counsel. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
But despite Don McGahn and the Department of Justice guidance, around May 23rd, 2017, the president, quote, prodded McGahn to complain to Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein about these supposed
just reading from the report.
Yeah, he's just reading from the report. These aren't real
and
questions.
McGahn declined to call
again, which I'm bummed because he is so good when he asks questions. If you remember, when Hank Johnson from Georgia, by the way, what the hell is going on with Georgia politics? Cynthia McKinney, Johnson, the woman who just earlier this week was like, the guy told me to go back home, which was completely untrue. Now they have the videotape showing that everything she said was bogus.
Isn't that great?
Oh, it's amazing.
It's
amazing.
Stuff.
By the way, you can keep the Hank Johnson questioning up. We're just going to keep monitoring this in case anything exciting happens.
Well, in case the whole committee tips over and capsizes.
That's what Hank Johnson, that's what he said in committee. He was asking a general about sending more troops to Guam. We have it? Oh, play this.
Good.
I love
it. My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
Listen to this, General.
We don't anticipate that.
the greatest response of all time.
Of all time. Of all time. Do you know how islands work, sir?
Because it was still respectful, and yet, at the same time, relayed how ridiculous the question was.
It's not like a floaty in a pool that can just travel around. I don't know if you know that.
Can we talk about the another development here with Hank Johnson? Is did he have like a tube in his throat in like a recent surgery or something that I don't know about?
Or massive shaving problem?
Did he have a shaving incident? Because it looks like he cut himself shaving and still has the paper towel under his chin. Watch when he looks up.
No, he does.
Is that what it is?
I think it is.
You can kind of see it a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But when he looks up, watch him look up. There he is. He's like, I got toilet paper stuck to my neck.
That first weekend phone call that Don McGahn,
I mean, you fire your entire staff after this, if this is what this is. It could be something we don't know about, medical issue or something.
With our luck, it was something he was in the hospital getting a blood transfusion last night, and then this will all be Twitter going, look at how insensitive they just hate him because he's black.
Well, that is why we mentioned, of course, that it could legitimately be something medical that I don't know about, but it does appear to be that he just cut himself shaving.
A little shaving accident. Yeah.
Well, maybe he was shaving on an island that was in the middle of capsizing.
Oh.
Possible.
Sometimes when you move your arm to one side or the other of the room, and that room just starts to move a little bit,
exactly.
You got to be careful while you're shaving.
Why don't shave on planes? We learned that from the documentary Airplane. Back
not a documentary, but I appreciate that. By the way, tonight at 5 o'clock, you got to join us, Pat. You got to be.
Is this the Ilhan Omar thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is really going to be a good special tonight.
I bet.
We have an hour-long special on.
Do you delve into the. Or maybe you don't want to give this away.
No, go ahead.
Delve into the marriage with a brother.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we are trying to explain, what this controversy is. Because most people are like, this can't be true. What's about this? You married your brother. What is this? And so we explain what all of the controversies are.
Okay.
From her all the way back to Somalia to today. And we are also giving all of the evidence that has been found. And I think it's enough to call a grand jury.
I have been absolutely dumbfounded by the fact that nobody has been able to, maybe until tonight, has been able to follow up on this. She married her brother for immigration purposes, and nobody can actually track that down.
Well, we're not sure.
Get an answer from her.
How could it be?
Because she won't answer the question.
But
there is no birth certificate because Somalia was such a nightmare. Okay, so there was no birth certificate. So you just have to take and piece together what she says, what he says, follow the pictures, follow the immigration and what they said when they were coming in. And
so there's no records of that family in Somalia?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was a civil war, right?
Yeah, it's a civil war. It's not
in a refugee camp. We had one, too, and we still have records.
It's true. It's possible we had a more developed government than Somalia even then.
It's not unusual for not to have birth certificates. And it's really important that we don't make this into a birth certificate thing.
Right.
Because it's not. We're not questioning how she got here. We know how she got here.
But there's potential illegal activity there.
There's illegal activity that seems pretty likely on how she got in. The family was broken in half. Half went to England under one name. The other half came here under the Omar name. And then we have all of the photographic evidence. You're just going to have to decide for yourself. It's enough to be able to go now and say to a grand jury, you need to investigate this, because there's a felony on entrance. There's possible felonies on lying about who people are for educational purposes, for discounts, fraud. There is a felony of her tax forms where she was, incredible. There's 28 tickets and citations that she and her husband / brother received in this time period, where they state their address, and their address is the same address where her quote ex-husband lived. So it looks like she was living with her quote new husband, most likely brother.
Right.
With the husband.
So it was supposedly divorced.
It was bigamy. Yeah. No, she didn't divorce.
Well, didn't she at one point divorce him?
No, she said, yes, in the Muslim tradition.
Right, okay.
Okay, yeah, so she married him in the Muslim tradition.
Right.
And what's really strange is most people don't know this.
She's back to being married to him again.
Correct,
too.
But when she married her brother or whoever this guy is, she married with a Christian pastor. Now, why would a devout Muslim who wears a hijab and a devout Muslim male marry with a Christian pastor?
Why indeed?
Diversity. That's why.
I mean, there's just a lot of stuff like that that's just bizarre.
Yeah.
Just totally bizarre. But there are, I believe, crimes, serious crimes. And the Minneapolis...
Impeachable crimes?
Oh, yeah. Jail crimes.
Yeah.
Felonies.
Yeah.
Not high crimes and misdemeanors. Actual felonies. You don't have to have an opinion on this. If these things are true, she should be going to prison.
And, Pat, you definitely want to watch this special tonight, right?
I definitely want to.
Oh, okay, you should use Glenn20 as your promo code then when you sign up.
Okay.
At blazetv.com, you'll save $20.
Wow. That's unusual.
$20. It is unusual. It's twice the amount of the normal savings.
Wow. That's great.
And that's good today?
It's good today. Glenn20, GLENN. It's two N's.
Two N's. That's wasteful.
Yeah, it is.
Wouldn't one be sufficient?
It would.
Huh.
It would.
He doesn't believe in global warming.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Glenn20 at blazetv.com.
Make sure you get that. Let's go to... Louis Gohmert.
An element of any of those obstructions you referenced requires a corrupt state of mind, correct?
Corrupt intent, correct.
Right. And if somebody knows they did not conspire with anybody from Russia to affect the election, and they see the big Justice Department with people that hate that person coming after them, and then a special counsel appointed who hires dozen or more people that hate that person, and he knows he's innocent. He's not corruptly acting in order to see that justice is done. What he's doing is not obstructing justice. He is pursuing justice, and the fact that you ran it out 2 years means you perpetuated injustice.
I take your
gentleman's
question.
Gentleman's time has expired. The witness may answer the question.
I take your question.
What does that mean?
Gentleman from Florida.
Director Mueller,
this is like everyone's just senile, just talking at each other.
I like pizza. What the hell does that mean? I take your question.
I guess it's just I
understand it.
He's not gonna. He doesn't respect. I guess the question is. I heard that you said that. Essentially, is what he's saying. The obstruction
investigation. I mean, isn't that a good fiasco? Isn't that a good point though?
Yeah, seems like it.
I mean, I'd like to hear your.
And then in your report, you wrote about multiple calls from the president to White House counsel Don McGahn. And regarding the second call, you wrote, and I quote, McGahn recalled that the president was more direct, saying something like, call Rod, tell Rod that Mueller has conflicts and can't be the special counsel. McGahn recalled the president telling him, Mueller has to go and call me back when you do it. Director Mueller, did McGahn understand what the president was ordering him to do?
I direct you to the what we've written in the report in terms of characterizing and, his feelings.
And in the report it says, quote, McGahn understood.
Look, I should be eating pudding at this time. I don't usually think like this now. I think I wrote it down. Maybe you should read it. But it appears as though that's all you're doing is reading the report and asking me to leave my pudding time just to say, yeah, that's what the report said, I think.
Jeez. Return momentarily to the nursing home trial.
Unbelievable.
Agonizing.
Unbelievable. Okay. Thank you so much, Pat. Our sponsor this half hour is Blinds.com. Summer is here, and I don't know what it's like at your house, but it's about 15,000 degrees here in Texas. But the good news is it has just a hint of humidity. So if you burst into flames, your sweat puts you back out. It's great. Anyway, if you would like to save a lot of money and reduce the heating cost and the air conditioning cost of your house, please call Blinds.com, the number one online choice for affordable, quality, custom window coverings. Plus, every order gets free online design consultation, free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee. They make it really super easy. And I have to tell you, I have bought blinds from Blinds.com. I have bought them from the stores. And I hate waiting for somebody with the apron who will say, oh yeah, I'll find somebody for you, and then you wait, and then they just say, well, here's what we have, and you can just look through this book. Well, I can do that online, and I can get all the samples sent to me overnight. Blinds.com. Do it from the comfort of your own home. Save a buttload of money right now. 40% off for a limited time, plus an extra $20 off with promo code Beck. It's Blinds.com for up to 40% off plus an extra $20 off with promo code Beck. Blinds.com, promo code Beck.
Ilhan Omar.
Ilhan Omar, the special on her, coming up tonight at 5 o'clock. This is, I think this is going to be a rather funny one. Sad, tragic, yes. Full of crime, you bet. But also, we're trying to explain this very, very complex situation. And that's one reason. That's not the reason the mainstream media is doing it. But it's one reason why people don't know more about this is because it's so complex. So how do we explain something in a way that people really will enjoy watching it? Well, you'll see tonight. We're trying to look at shows from the 1970s that kind of fit. The Brady Bunch is the Omar Bunch tonight, and also All in the Family and Three's Company might play a role, with Ilhan Omar playing I guess what was her name, Suzanne Summers, with a hijab. So You don't want to... Well, maybe not with a hijab. Did she get married with the Christian pastor?
She got married with a Christian pastor, but in the Muslim tradition. That's all. It's easy to understand. Very strange situation. And I will say, seeing it visually is going to help you actually understand it. So yeah. When everyone accuses you of being some hateful racist for questioning crimes, you can actually explain all the details.
That's where we've gotten to now. Before it was... Hey, I think they're a socialist. Racist! Now you're like, they're a felon, racist. Wait. It helps her by for people to not understand this story, and you will understand it, and you'll have a tool to where you can explain it to others tonight.
That's if you're, of course, a subscriber at blazetv.com. Use the promo code GLEN20 to save 20 bucks for tonight's special on Ilhan Omar.
You don't want to miss that. Join us. You can cancel tomorrow if you want, but you won't, because it's good. All right. Also, Tom Fitton is coming up with us in just a couple of minutes. He's the president of Judicial Watch, and he has filed a House ethics complaint against Omar over potential immigration, marriage, tax, and student loan fraud, which we're going to be covering all of those things tonight. And I think there is a I think what we're going to present tonight is a jury ready I should say a
grand jury
ready argument. You'll see tonight there's enough there to indict with a grand jury for some pretty serious crimes. So we'll get to that. Coming up, Tom Fitton is next, and also more on the nursing home food fight that's happening in Congress right now. Did you write this? I don't know. I think so. Did I use a typewriter? I don't really know. That is an exciting episode from Congress today. We'll cover it more coming up.
Glenn Beck. The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch, has just yesterday filed a House ethics complaint against Representative Ilhan Omar over potential immigration, marriage, tax, and student loan fraud. We're doing a special tonight on this only at 5 o'clock on the Glenn Beck program on Blaze TV. You get a $20 discount if you sign up today, right now, to watch this. We're going to explain all of it, but these are serious crimes. This is not no big deal. This isn't ethics committee look into it and slap her on the wrist. These are serious felonies. We talked to Tom Fitton about that in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So to Google and social media, we are nothing more than a product. They want our information, and then they sell our data to the highest bidder. And then, even worse, they shadow ban and discriminate against our views. Now, you have a choice. You can reclaim your privacy. Now, I'm talking to senators and congressmen about several things when it comes to privacy and it comes to these organizations. I don't want them regulated. I want them to lose the right to call themselves a platform. They're publishers. So they shouldn't get the government protection. But also, we should have the right to our own data. That's me. They shouldn't have the right to this data. They should have to buy it from me, or they can, you know, they can't gather anything, and anything that they gather has to come to me. Now, listen, I choose Norton Secure VPN. If you want to go online, you need a virtual private network. You need to have that protection. You need bank-grade encryption to hide your online activity. Norton Secure VPN creates a secure tunnel for the information that you send and receive online, so the companies can't see your browsing activity. Norton Secure VPN. If you want to have all of today's technology, but you don't want all of the snooping and everything else, get a Norton Secure VPN. Secure your connections today. Go to norton.com/VPN. Protection starts at $333 a month for the first year of annual enrollment. That's norton.com/VPN. Now, Tom Fitton is the president of Judicial Watch. That's a public interest group that investigates and prosecutes government corruption. They have been around for a long time. Tom Fitton is their president at Judicial Watch, and they have just filed a House ethics complaint against Ilhan Omar. Welcome to the program, Tom.
Glenn, good to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks. We're doing a special tonight, and you know the mainstream media makes this into a conspiracy theory, or they say this is just crazy, you know, right wingers. But we've had the Minneapolis Star Tribune do an investigation themselves and verify the investigations by crazy right wingers, and they either can confirm, they can confirm about 60% of it. And the rest of it, they say they can't disprove without her participation. These are serious, serious crimes. What we're presenting tonight, I believe, is enough for an indictment and a call for a grand jury. I gather you're at the same place.
Yeah, there's certainly enough evidence to warrant a criminal investigation into what went on there. And you know, Glenn, you've been looking at this, I'm sure, for as long as we have. It's kind of been this like low-grade fever type of corruption scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And when her hometown left-wing newspaper essentially puts its stamp of approval on the concerns that we've had for a long time about what's going on there, I think it's pretty hard now for the Justice Department to ignore it, Department of Homeland Security, the IRS. And, you know, there's a political process for handling ethics concerns related to this type of activity, which is what we're trying to pursue with the House. We're not naive as to the interest in Democrats in doing this, but
yeah.
we just got to try to make the system work. We got to try to remind these members they're not above the law and hold other members accountable if they're going to try to let them get away with it.
But I think that is, they do think they're above the law. I mean, we're talking perjury, immigration fraud, marriage fraud, yep, state and federal tax fraud, federal student loan fraud. If it was, if it was you, Tom, or if it was me, how much trouble would we be in? How much jail time would we be looking at?
Yeah, this would be an easy prosecution if it were a regular individual involved in it. But this is a politically connected figure, now a member of Congress. I'm sure the Justice Department would be horrified of having to do something here, but that's the goal of filing this ethics complaint. Not only will it put pressure on the House to do something about it, but highlight the issue for the Justice Department to follow up.
So hang on just a second. You say it would be very easy. Why would it be very easy? It's complicated.
Well, it's not that complicated. You know, so your listeners should know, it looks like Ms. Omar came into the United States using the name of another family.
The Omar family.
Her siblings, including her brother, went to the United Kingdom. It looks like she married her brother to give him some type of immigration benefits here in the United States. It's unclear how that plays out. So it's so bad that we can't be confident that, as we point out, it's not her. She's going by another name that's not her own as a member of Congress. It's extraordinary.
So it seems to be pretty well documented that this is what happened. What I can't figure out is, why did she come with her father, I think, her father and her sister, and go under the Omar family, with the other siblings going to the UK? Is it because the Omars could only take a certain number of people, or why didn't they take the whole family under the Omar name? Do you know?
Well, I'm not sure about that. But, you know, remember, this is, you know, these are refugees. They were in Kenya at the time. I mean, who knows what was going on? You know, maybe they could only bring three individuals in with under the other family's name, or the other, or her other members wanted to go to the United Kingdom for other reasons. You know, my guess is this is just the tip of the iceberg and probably not an unusual story in terms of a fraud associated with refugee settlements here in the United States.
So apparently DNA evidence shows that 80% of Somalis coming in are not related to the people they say they're related to.
Yeah. You know, and you know, that might be happening with a wink and a nod from authorities. The point is, get the refugees in, and the specifics of the names, however important it might be to national security and the rule of law, aren't terribly relevant to helping the refugees.
It's amazing.
But if you're going to run for Congress, you got to make sure all your ducks in a row And that hasn't happened yet.
It's amazing to me that under Obama, we couldn't take Christian refugees because we just didn't know. But if you say, and I believe this to be true, authorities look at this with a wink and a nod for Somalian Muslim refugees, but they don't have a wink and a nod for Christian Syrian or Iraqi refugees. There's something really toxic in our system.
Well, you remember the refugee program, the vetting of refugees was outsourced to third parties, UN officials and folks like that. So the United States just essentially accepted the word of the third party vetters. That's what had been happening with the refugee program, which is why President Trump tried to reform it to get more security measures in place.
So let me go here. As you're looking at the fraud of the marriage, she marries her husband, let's call him Ahmed One. She marries Ahmed One, but she says she only marries him under a religious ceremony. Is there any documentation of those two being married legally at all the first time?
No, and I think, you know, some of the religious ceremonies were officiated by a Christian minister, which
that was Ahmed II. Ahmed One was a religious Muslim to the Muslim tradition. Ahmed II was a legal and Christian ceremony done by a Christian pastor, right. Which I just, how does this woman who's wearing a burqa get married by a Christian? It doesn't make sense.
I encourage all your listeners to go to the Paroline blog so they can start creating their own genealogical charts and marriage charts for the congressman from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And this is why the Ethics Committee needs to get into this, because she was playing fast and loose with our marriage laws. She was filing IRS forms, pretending to be married to one person when in fact she was married to another.
She was.
She had to amend the form. She says that's good enough, but it may not be good enough. It wouldn't be good enough for most any other American.
No.
If you committed marriage fraud and you were just caught on an IRS form doing it.
No. And she also committed perjury on like 26 different, I think they're traffic violations and other violations that she and Ahmed II got. And they put their address down as the address of Ahmed One. So apparently they were all living together in some strange Three's Company kind of marriage with her children and both husbands. I mean, I don't even know what that is.
Well, you know, if you're engaged in marriage fraud, it makes perfect sense.
Correct.
You understand she's living with her brother. Her husband's there, too. On paper, the brother's married to her, but it's nothing substantive beyond the paper marriage for purposes of immigration and other purposes. Who knows what other purposes they have them get some benefits from that marriage. And on top of that, you have to wonder whether the house was defrauded in terms of descriptions about her name and other background material in terms of filings with the house. This is a... you know, there's criminal liability here potentially, but she could be removed from Congress if the House does its job here and concludes the evidence shows what we suggest it does.
But isn't she also, I mean, aren't these felonies?
Yep. The U.S. attorney, and I don't know who the U.S. attorney in Minnesota is, but if he ain't looking at it, he ain't doing his job.
Tom, you've looked at this stuff and you've been in this business for a while. How comfortable are you with the Facebook? A lot of the stuff, we can't go any further because all we have are Facebook posts of her and Ahmed II, the timeline, et cetera, et cetera. They were deleted from her timelines. They were deleted from her and her alleged brother's posts. All of this has been erased, but we have access to those things. How comfortable are you that these are legitimately her and her family's?
Well, when I see our good friends at the Paroline blog, who I trust, even though the big media pretends you can't trust them, they were quite diligent in trying to ferret out all this information. And then you have the legacy media come in, the Minnesota newspaper come in, and essentially say, yeah, there are a lot of questions here, and she's acting like she has something to hide, and essentially repeats the reporting of our conservative friends there in Paroline. You know, I, as you point out, I've been doing this for a long time. You kind of, you know, people sometimes come to the wrong conclusions about publicly available documents. And I think the right conclusions about this is that something illegal took place. Scott Johnson, who runs Paroline Blog, did all the reporting on this. He was in the media the other day. He said he was 98% certain marriage fraud took place and 90% certain the marriage fraud was with his brother, with her brother. So something needs to be done here. So, and if she's innocent, then let the investigation figure that out.
Right.
Or, you know, let's have an investigation so that we can conclude one way or another whether we should move on.
It shouldn't be. And she should be.
You know, there is a presumption of evidence. You know, there is a presumption of innocence.
Right.
But there's enough evidence that any other citizen would be subject to a criminal investigation.
Yes. Tom, thank you so much. Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch. He is the president of that. We are doing a special on this tonight. This is serious allegations, and we want to explain the entire story to you. It's very difficult, especially when you're reading it or listening to it on the radio. It's very difficult to follow. We're going to make it really easy for you to follow tonight at 5 o'clock, and we urge you to watch it and share it with your friends. This is a dangerous situation with somebody who has, I believe, dangerous connections, connections to CARE, high level connections to CARE, which is a offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the parent organization that supports Hamas. Or is it Hezbollah? No, it's Hamas. So this is a dangerous situation that we need to clear up. You can subscribe to The Blaze now at blazetv.com/Glenn. If you use the promo code Glenn, we're going to give you $20 off today. So make sure you use Glenn20 as your promo code, Glenn20 as the promo code, and you'll get $20 off, 20% off now for your year subscription. That's tonight at 5 o'clock. Make sure you subscribe. One last note on this. The writer that we have been in touch with is David Steinberg, and he's done a lion's share of this. It's been a team effort, but he's done the lion's share of this. He's going to be with us in about 10 minutes. He was working for PJ Media at the time he began this. He gave this story to us about a week and a half ago. I've been in touch with him off and on over the last year. And he gave this story to me for The Blaze to run. We wanted to make sure that we did all of our due diligence. And Powerline beat us to it by a few hours. But we have Leon Wolf on, who is an attorney and our chief editor here at The Blaze, to go over what he did and what he went over, where he felt that there were any flaws. We, I guess, approved this story about 2 o'clock in the morning, and that was too late, so we didn't get the exclusive. But I want you to know, we didn't run it because we were wanting to make sure it was all buttoned up. We did approve the story because it is buttoned up. So we're taking this very, very seriously, and see this tonight at 5 o'clock, only on blazetv.com/Glenn, promo code Glenn20. All right. I want to talk to you a little bit about blinds.com. Blinds.com is the greatest. They will help you in every single way. It is not like walking into a box store where you're like, nah, can I find a guy with the apron that's supposed to work in this department? Yeah. And then they just bring you a big book and you look through the book and you're like, I don't know. This is something that is totally different. Tanya and I were going to redecorate our bedroom. Saturday morning, we had been promising ourselves that we were going to do it forever. So we finally go and we go online at blinds.com. We're looking. It's a little overwhelming because their selection is gigantic. And so I said, I don't know, I think we need help. So we get somebody to help us at blinds.com. Within a few minutes, they're on the phone with us. I thought we were going to have to make an appointment. They're just right there. We text them and say, hey, could we get some help? They text back immediately. How about right now? Okay. Get a great designer who helps us pick out the right thing. They send us samples. The bedroom completely is just transformed. Do it. It's really simple. Blinds.com. Use the promo code Beck, and right now you're going to get 40% off for a limited time. Plus, you're going to save an extra $20 if you use the promo code Beck. That's Blinds.com for up to 40% off, plus an extra $20 with promo code Beck. Blinds.com, promo code Beck. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. We have been keeping our eye on the Mueller testimony now in Congress. It's nothing but the Democrats just reading from the report.
Did you say that?
Oh, yeah, I guess I did. Yeah, sure. That's what I said.
And the Republicans making good points all the way along, and then him just going,
okay, well then, yeah.
I mean, he's really not saying anything.
It's a complete waste of time. I mean, the guy wrote a 448-page report, and what he keeps saying to every question is, that's in my report. And when they say, you wrote this, he says, what page was that on? They say, page 157. Yes, on page 157, I did say that. Like, it is that ridiculous right now. Now, there are good points being made by, I think, Republicans talking about the standard of proof that has been used by Mueller, the way justice sort of reversed itself in this report. And Democrats, though, are not actually even attempting to make points. All they are doing is reading what they believe are the most damning parts of the report and having Mueller confirm whether those were actually in the report. And to give you an example of how that's working.
Hang on just a second. Let me go take this real quick. Let's listen to this. Questioning by a Republican.
But you say nothing about this in your report.
Well,
meanwhile,
sir.
Meanwhile, Director, you're quite loquacious on other topics. You write 3,500 words about the June 9 meeting between the Trump campaign and Russian lawyer Veselnitskaya. You write on page 103 of your report that the president's legal team suggested, and I'm quoting from your report, that the meeting might have been a setup by individuals working with the firm that produced the Steele reporting. So I'm going to ask you a very easy question, Director Mueller. On the week of June 9, who did Russian lawyer Veselnitskaya meet with more frequently? The Trump campaign or Glenn Simpson, who was functionally acting as an operative for the Democratic National Committee?
Well, what I think is missing here is the fact that this is under investigation elsewhere in the Justice Department. And if I can finish, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
And quickly. Consequently, it's not within my purview. Department of Justice and FBI should be responsive to questions on this particular issue.
Wow.
It is absurd to suggest.
Okay. Let me tell you about our cruise through history that's going on next spring. This thing, we only have 200 cabins left. If you have been thinking about this, you got to get on board now. All right. 200 cabins. We have 3,000 people now on board with us. This is going to be a cruise of a lifetime. Bill O'Reilly will be there. I will be there. David Barton, Rabbi Lappin, Stu. We have Jim Caviezel. I haven't heard the confirmation yet myself, but I hear he's coming. What's his name from
the skipper?
OUR?
Oh,
Tim Ballard. Marianne, the professor, and the Howells are also going to be there. Mm-hmm. You don't want to miss it. Cruise through history. We are going to go to Athens. We're going to go to the Holy Land. We're going to go to Venice. This is an unbelievable thing where you can learn history of Europe, of the Middle East, and how it affected us in the founding of our country and the covenant that George Washington and Abraham Lincoln made. ComeSailAway.com. Bring your family if you can, but act now. Very few cabins are left. ComeSailAway.com.
To get the full investigation on Ilhan Omar, it's tonight. Use blazetv.com. The promo code is Glenn20. Save $20 today only.
We have David Steinberg on with us now. David is a journalist. He has been following the Ilhan Omar case for how long, David? A year? Over a year?
I've been on this a little more than a year. Scott Johnson and Preah Sampson started this, got on it back in August of 2016.
And this is when nobody was on it, and it actually started, these claims started with a Somali blogger, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there was a message board used by members of the local Minneapolis Somali community. And just in the hours after Ilhan first won a primary in August of 2016, they posted the first evidence that her marriage was a sham and that this person was actually her genetic brother, who she had married in 2009.
And what was the evidence then?
The evidence then was photographic, and it was also referencing, they specifically referenced when she got married to the person who she claims it was her husband at the time, this Ahmed Hirsi. Mm-hmm. And asked, he pointed out where we could dig up the documents, that the documents should be there.
And so,
Go ahead.
I talked to you about, I don't know, I think we started first talking about 8 months ago or so, and you were on this. And I know you were working with people in England to get more documentation, because half the family went to Virginia when they left Kenya. They're from Somalia. They were in a refugee camp in Kenya, and they were trying to get out to the West. And half the family went to Virginia with the Omar family, and that's when she allegedly changed her name to Omar. She's not an Omar, apparently. She is an Elmi. And the rest of her family, I think three others, went to England. Do you know why the family split at that point? Why didn't they all go to America with the Omars? Do you know?
Well, what we've heard from sources in the Somali community who were involved with this wave of refugee immigration to the U.S. at that time were well aware of what people were doing to gain access to both the U.S. and the U.K. at that time. Several people gave us the same story about how Ilhan and her father arrived in the United States. They said there was this family, the Omars, which apparently already had a relative in the United States. So they were using the P3 refugee application program, family reunification, which allows you to apply as a refugee in a bit quicker fashion if you already have someone in the U.S., which legally is referred to as the anchor relative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that was the Omar family. It appeared they already have that. And this was somebody, the Omar family is within the same clan as Ilhan's father.
Okay.
And they had a discussion over in Kenya at the refugee camp. The Omar family allowed Ilhan's father, Ilhan's sister, and Ilhan to fraudulently apply as part of this P3 program as members of the Omar family.
And then Omar's brother and sister went over to the UK under the family name of Elmi.
Correct. That's what we also heard. They applied for asylum in the United Kingdom under their legal names, which was Ahmed Nur Said Elmi, Layla Nur Said Elmi, and Mohammed Nur Said Elmi. Those were three siblings of Ilhan's.
Okay, so why didn't those three, any idea why those three did not come under the Omar banner here in America? Was there a limit, or what do we know anything on that?
I don't have anything to verify what I've heard from sources as to why those three did not come. But what I have heard from sources is that there just simply wasn't a likelihood of getting that
of
many people.
Okay.
All of them. Correct.
All right. So now we have Ahmed Elmi, apparently her brother, who she's later going to marry, living in Camden in the United Kingdom. And Layla Elmi, who also lived in Camden at apparently the same address. Do we have, I know you talked to, or I know you have both of them in Camden. Do we have anything that shows that they're at the same address?
Yes, I have them at the same address, which I haven't published because I believe either they or relatives are still at the address. So I haven't published that, but I do have both of them at the same address. We have, I have verification that both from the school itself and from Ahmed Elmi's own social media that he attended the junior high school, which was in that neighborhood.
All right. So can you, if we don't publish or anything, if it's just for our eyes only, so I can verify this, can you send me the information that you have where that places them at the same address? So I can.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that is, those are the only two questions that I had on this was, okay, I don't understand the split up other than it was not likely to get all of them in under the Omars. And the other is, do you have anything that is confirming that they were living at the same address? Because we do know that Leah Elmi is
Layla Elmi
is Omar's sister because of what evidence?
The evidence that I published was what is the problem is that he was a minor at the time.
Right.
So coming up with anything beyond address records
correct.
Legally is it's not something, you know, I've been able to do the whole investigation without requesting that anybody leak me something and put themselves in jeopardy.
Correct.
I didn't want to start. So that's been difficult. What I have been able to show, though, is he was enrolled at that school, that they lived at the same address, which I'm happy to forward to you.
No, but I'm asking about Layla. How do we, what are the connections there that we know they are sisters? Because once we know they're sisters and we have Ahmed as a youth living with her, we pretty much have that. I mean, that's pretty much done.
Right.
So
what I published as far as a connection showing Ilhan and Layla are sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Ilhan has on multiple occasions referred to her own father as a man named Nur Said. She's been photographed with him. She's called him Nur Said. She tweets his name was Nur Said. Everyone in the community knew him by that name. And his social media, he refers to himself as Nur Said. I pull up a marriage document from 1997 from Camden to Borough of London. And Layla Nur Said Elmi, when she got married in 1997, she lists her father on the application form as Nur Said Elmi. Now, at the age of we know his birth date of the one in the United States that is referred to, that Ilhan has referred to as her father. There is nobody else in either the United States or the United Kingdom named Nur Said Elmi that I can locate. There is certainly nobody close to the same birthday. Now, then I also published photographs which had originally appeared on Ilhan Omar's social media back in 2016, which she deleted once Scott Johnson first got on this case. The photograph I published was Layla Elmi, Ilhan Omar, and Nur Said, the father, all with their arms around each other on a family vacation in late 2011. I published another picture of Ilhan Omar visiting Layla Elmi in 2015 in London. And remarkably, Ilhan put a caption on the page, "I heart my sisters." And then I also published another social media post by someone who attended an event in late 2018 in Washington, D.C. with Ilhan Omar and Layla Elmy. He says, I just had dinner with Ilhan Omar and her sister Layla Elmy. He had no, there is no rational, objective reason for him to incorrectly identify the person he had dinner with as Ilhan's sister Layla Elmy. Now, this event actually took place a couple hours after Ilhan had filed a police, she didn't file a report. I'm sorry about that. She had been in a taxi, and she claimed the next day that the taxi driver had harassed her and said, threatened to pull her hijab off and called her a terrorist, etc. She said, I was in the cab with my sister. She later, a few days later, filed a report with a DC Ethics Commission and the Taxi Cab Commission that stated, I FOIA'd the report, it stated, I was in the car with my sister. Now, we know she has testified here. This is a legal document. She could be punished for perjury for filing that falsely. That the person she was with, she identified as her sister. This person who we can place at that event, having dinner with her, said that sister was Layla Elmy.
Which makes her second husband her brother. And this is it's a very complex story, but it is very buttoned up. David, I salute you and all those who have risked so much and spent so much time on this story. I think this story is finally going to get its due. Hopefully justice will be done. There is enough here to demand legal action to be taken as in form of an investigation. She should be presumed innocent until proven guilty. But if I were on a grand jury, there is more than enough to say, yes, prosecutors should look at investigating her and buttoning these things up. If these things are absolutely true, she should be compelled to testify and answer some of these questions. And these are it's not only fraud, it's forgery. I'm sorry. It's not only forgery and fraud. It is a felony. David, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Glenn.
You bet. If you want to see all of this tonight, you just have to sign up for the Blaze TV. Sign up blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn20 and you'll be able to get a 20% discount. You'll save $20 tonight. It's at 5 o'clock. We'll do it live today. Don't miss it. 5 o'clock. The true story of Ilhan Omar, as if that is her real name. Did you know on average it takes 45 minutes for the police to respond to a home security alarm? Almost an hour. And that's not the fault of the police. That's because they know most home alarms are just set off by accident. It's a false alarm. So it goes to the bottom of the 911 list. However, Simply Safe Home Security has video verification technology. Now, they're the only company that does this. Video verification technology, which helps police get on the scene 3.5 times faster. Now, if you're a giant corporation, you're Apple, you have video verification, you can do that. But no home service offers this. They can visually confirm that a break-in is happening. They call the police. They let them know. The average police time goes from 45 minutes to 7 minutes. You want to protect yourself and your home? This is the way to do it. Simply Safe. The monitoring is $15 a month. There is no hidden fee, no fine print, and no contract. Simply Safe. Huge deal going on right now. SimplySafeBeck.com. You'll get that free HD security camera when you order for the video verification. It's a $100 value. It's yours free. Have eyes on your home 24/7. It is SimplySafeBeck.com. Do it now. SimplySafeBeck.com. So I'm going to Australia in about 10 days, and I'm going with the Nazarene Fund as we return a young girl to her mother. Her family, about 5 years ago, was destroyed by ISIS. Her brother was killed. Her father was killed. her mother and her were taken by ISIS and used as sex slaves. They were separated. We rescued her mother about 3 years ago and then got her to Australia. When we rescued her, she talked about her daughter. Where's my daughter? Where's my daughter? Through extensive sources on the ground, we were told that her daughter was dead, and she moved to Australia, the mother did, to start a new life. Well, we just rescued a new batch of sex slaves from ISIS just recently. About 3 months ago, we realized one of them was the daughter of the mother. She was asking about her mother, and when we did a cross check, we realized this is the mom that is in Australia. So after a lot of maneuvering on the ground, she is finally ready to board an airplane and go to Australia to be reunited with her mother. I will be there when that happens, and I want to bring that story to you. That'll be in the next couple of weeks. If you would like to be a part of this, please join us at the NazareneFund.org. NazareneFund.org. Truly, miracles are happening every day.
I'm Hillary. That's your 4 Minute Buzz. And now here's Glenn and Stu with the last hour of the show.
All right. And we want to talk to you about Relief Factor.
Yeah. Relief Factor is something that Glenn has been taking for a very long time. And in fact, you know, you might say, hey, what's it like working with Glenn? And I would answer that. Well, there's two answers, I guess, to that. One, the pre-Relief Factor answer, and one, the post-Relief Factor answer. And the pre-Relief Factor answer is that it was absolutely horrible in every way. And the post is it's horrible, but it's not nearly as bad because he's not in constant pain. That is the big difference. He's at least tolerable-ish, is the way we phrase it here. Now, this has been a big improvement for Glenn, I know, and you know, he has his ranch up in Idaho, and he actually, who knew, goes outside and does things. And it used to be something that really like destroyed him for weeks afterwards. Now that's not the case. 70% of people who order the 3-week quick start have a similar experience to Glenn, where they order more because it's working for them. That says a lot. Why not, when you're talking about your, you know, the quality of your life on the line, why not take a chance with $20 when you have a 70% chance of real success?
I tell you, it worked for me, and I'm so glad my wife forced me to do it.
Take it. I'm not going to listen to you anyway.
All right. It's so well worth it. It's Relief Factor, 1-800-500-8384, Relief Factor. All right. We've got a great last hour of the program coming up. Begins in just about 10 seconds. Stand by.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Yes. Socialists, the gift that just keeps giving. We begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Somewhere in America, within the sound of my voice, is a man who just doesn't feel like he belongs where he is. He's living in the big city, an unending, complicated dance with millions of partners all around him every day. And he wanders through the complication of his day, bumping constantly into the willfully estranged, all while engaging on a daily basis with more people than he had ever met before in his life. The city's pulses and pounds in his ears, and it doesn't stop at night, except for one part of him and in one part of the city where modernity have forgot to continue to take over. There's this place. It's not a big place. It's not cramped either. On the jukebox, Hank Williams sometimes contends with Jimmy Rogers to see who can make the most money per night, while a much slower version of the city life plays itself outside of the interactions and the patrons. It's in this den that our man once in a while steps, hat on his head, pearl snap button up, and jeans that have a crease down the middle. The articles of clothing from another world. On his feet, comfortable, and radiating the warm dream of the place called home, is a pair of Tecovas boots. Now, he wears these Tecovas here, but It's the one thing that keeps him grounded when he's out in the city. Yeah, he may wear a suit all day, but he's got his pair of Tecovas. You know, it takes 200 steps to manufacture a pair of Tecovas boots. They're built to be comfortable right out of the box, handmade with high-quality full-grain leathers by world-class bootmakers. Tecovas boots. They come in lizard and alligator, some of the world's most exotic leathers. And by selling them right directly to you, Tecovas ensures that their product is either half the price of a similar quality boot or twice the quality of a similarly priced boot. Check out their site, Tecovas.com/Beck. Anything leather you might need, you'll find there. Tecovas, Tecovas.com/Beck. Walk the walk, the one you were meant to walk, with Tecovas. Justin Haskins is in studio with us. He's the executive editor of the Heartland Institute. And correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, didn't you and I first interact because you were started, was it the Heartland Institute? You started this expose, if you will, or the exposing of socialism?
So, yeah, we started StoppingSocialism.com.
That's what it was.
That's right, StoppingSocialism.com. Go there now. Back in the summer of last year, so basically a year ago.
It was only a year ago?
Yeah, it was only a year ago. It was really spurred on by the rise of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and some of the stuff that I was seeing with my own generation. I'm a young guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Seeing people fall in love with socialism all over
crazy.
Again.
It's crazy. And you have to, you really have to not be able to think, you know, or you're just, you're in willful ignorance and there's no critical thinking engaged at all.
Not at all. I mean, you talked about willful ignorance. I mean, it's sort of willful, but it's also my generation grew up. I went to a public school in the liberal Northeast. Mm-hmm. And so I get it. I mean, I was indoctrinated like everybody else. I mean, it didn't take with me, but it took with just about everybody else around me. So I understand.
So how was it? How was it taught to you? How was socialism? You say indoctrinated. I grew up. I went into school. I was in school in the 70s. I graduated high school in 82. So I missed. Apparently, I missed all of this indoctrination. How is it? How is it presented in school?
It's presented in school as capitalism is for greedy, heartless, terrible people. Mm-hmm. You're a terrible person if you're a capitalist.
Okay.
And socialism is basically charity. That's what it is. It's some kind of form of charity. And yeah, there are all these socialist governments all throughout history that screwed it up, but that's because they were authoritarian socialist governments.
Ah.
If they had only been democratic, then that would have solved all of their problems. So we
although they were
it.
All democratic, at least at first, they all got in with a vote.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it always starts.
Yes,
see, it always starts with democracy, and then it devolves very quickly
Correct.
Into tyranny.
Yes,
right.
yes.
Yeah, they skipped over that part of the history lesson in school. But that's how it's always sold. It's, look, we're making progress. Things are getting better. We just need to put the right bureaucrats in place. We need to have the right.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's the
same. This is the end of Wilson's dream.
It is. It really is. Before I came here, actually, on the plane, I was re-listening to Liars, a great book, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Glenn Book.
Thank you.
But, and when going over that history all over again, it's astounding how much this is just repeating itself over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's the same story that was in the early 1900s and even late 1800s is playing out again 100 years later. Mm-hmm. We've learned nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned absolutely nothing.
Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, they will be known unless we turn the tide this time. They're going to be known as the robber barons of this era.
Yeah.
And look at the good that they have done.
Absolutely. I talk about this all the time with people. My wife is a doctor, so I know a lot of doctors. They love single-payer healthcare. They're all academic doctors. Love it.
It's crazy.
It is, because I tell them all the time, look, who do you think they're coming for first? Who do you think is going to be the first scapegoat when things start to go wrong,
doctors.
When costs are too high? You guys are all making $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 a year, the surgeons and stuff like that. Do you think that they're just going to let you do this forever? Of course not. Do you think they care that you have $500,000 in student loan debt and all of this stuff?
No, they'll forgive it, and you have to
That's
work
right.
for them.
And then you work for them at whatever price they pay.
Mm-hmm.
So that is absolutely going to come. They're going to be demonized too. There are all sorts of, this is how socialism always plays out. There is always a shifting group of people who become, if only we could get rid of them, or if only we could somehow put the chains on them.
Yes.
They're the problem, not us, them.
Right.
And it shifts because as soon as they put the chains on one group, that doesn't work. They have to put the chains on another group.
Correct.
And it goes back and forth over and over and over.
And if you know this, I'm a watch collector and I love the story of one of them is Glashut and the other is Alenons and Son. And these were really great watches that were made in Germany until the Soviet Union took over, and all of the watchmakers fled and they went to the West. Okay. So they all went to Switzerland and they all started making watches there. Soon as the wall came down, they went back to those areas and now they're making these, you know, timeless brands again. But the funny part about this is that is why the Russians had a hard time keeping time, literally keeping time. They killed anybody who knew who was a watchmaker because they were part of the, you know, they were part of the upper crust that were crushing the masses. And so they left and they killed the ones who didn't. And forever, they had a hard time just making a watch.
Yeah, that's amazing. We've seen this especially in China. I mean, China had a remarkable history of elevating one group of people to being this special class of people and then killing them all off and imprisoning them because they're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then the educated people were the problem. So then we have to imprison all of them and we have to kill them and we have to get them out of the way. And then it was the farmers who were the problem.
Yes.
And then it was back to the educated people.
Correct.
It's the same because it can never be them. It can never be the people in power.
Or the ideas.
Right.
You can never impugn the ideas.
Exactly.
So a good example of this is the people in power can always do what they have to do, but they never allow that to happen anyplace else. And let me give you an example. Bernie Sanders, $15 an hour. Okay. Everybody has to do it. And you say, Bernie, it doesn't work. What will happen is people will either reduce the hours that those people work, which will hurt them, or they will they'll fire people. Tell me the story about Bernie Sanders.
This is, I think, my favorite story of this year. I love this story. So Bernie Sanders, a socialist, running around the country telling everybody it's not just a good idea to have a $15 minimum wage, but it is immoral if you don't. You're exploiting people who do not earn $15 an hour. While he's doing this, it turns out he's not paying his own lowest wage workers $15 an hour. He's making them work 60 hours a week for about $13 an hour, okay? Which is just astounding in and of itself. But the best part is
60 hours.
Yes, 60 hours.
Slave shop.
Right, 60 hours. The best part is, though, that he, the workers who are unionized, by the way, the campaign workers are unionized. They get together and they complain and they say, hey, this isn't fair. I thought this was a living wage. We're not getting paid a living wage, $15 an hour. So they go to the bosses, which is now the socialist presidential candidate is now the boss negotiating with a socialist union in a presidential campaign, which is amazing. And they say, hey, we need more money. Give us more money. And they say, all right, we'll give you more money. But only if you're willing to take a cut on your healthcare benefits. You have to contribute more to your healthcare. That's the only way we'll give you the pay raise. Well, wait a minute. I thought healthcare was a human right. Isn't healthcare a human right? So now you have Bernie Sanders, a socialist, exploiting his own workers. When they complain, he then tries to take away their human rights. This is amazing. I mean, this is the best story. And then it gets even better. Because finally they come to a resolution.
I love his passion.
Finally comes to a resolution. They say, all right, guys, we'll settle on, it amounts to basically $16 an hour. And we're not going to cut your healthcare benefits because the media found out, which is a whole other thing. The media finds out, right? So then the next day, basically, Rashida Tlaib, another socialist from Michigan, a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, she comes out and says, you know what? $15, that's not enough. You got to pay $20 for a minimum wage. $15 was good before when we started all this, but now we need $20. $20. So Bernie Sanders, according to Rashida Tlaib and other socialists is still exploiting his own workers.
I love that. And with the candidates and the way the socialists are working now, it's almost like an auction. I got 15, 15. Do I hear 20, 20, 20, 20, 22. Do I hear 22, 22. Thank you, ma'am. Do I hear 25? I mean, it is just an auction on who is who can be the highest bidder. And the results are the same. Did he not have to reduce everybody? And some people quit. I believe some people were fired, were they not? Or their hours were reduced.
The end result was, we're only going to make you work 50 hours. And originally, they wanted him to work 6 days a week. They ended up settling on, well, we're working 50 hours, and we'll pay you a salary. So he's not, but you're not going to get what you wanted initially. I'm sorry, we just don't have enough money. So we're going to have to cut hours. We're going to have to maybe cut staff.
How is it that people don't see, or is it just willful blindness?
I think that people, and I think we saw this with Barack Obama, and I think you see it a little bit with Bernie Sanders, maybe not quite as passionately, but people desperately want to believe in this guy. They want to believe that there is some alternative answer that's going to fix all of our problems, and that he represents that, that he's somehow above it all, which we saw that with Barack Obama. People wanted to believe it. They wanted to, even when all the facts pointed to something else, they said, I want to believe in this guy. And I think that there are a lot of people on the left who want to believe in Bernie Sanders, even when he's, according to his own logic, exploiting his own workers and denying them human rights.
So
that's ridiculous.
You have Elizabeth Warren now at times in some polls beating Bernie Sanders. Let me take a quick break, and then I want to talk to you about the socialism of Elizabeth Warren. And how do you think this is going to play out? They have a mutually assured destruction pact going on. Don't say anything because we'll just kill each other. And I want to get your advice on, or your thoughts on how you think this is going to play out, because Bernie Sanders is not going to be the candidate, just not going to be the candidate. But you're smiling at me. Maybe you know something I don't know. We'll get to that here in just about a minute. Stand by. So I don't know if you saw the news yesterday. The IMF came out and said, hey, there's a problem. It looks like the United States is still the floatiest piece of poop in the toilet bowl. However, the whole thing is going to be flushed, according to the IMF. They say one of the problems is the trade deal, that the world has become so unstable because of the trade war we're in, that if everyone in the world isn't extraordinarily careful, catastrophic failure could happen. Okay, I don't know. I just know it's a lot like socialism. Numbers are numbers. Okay, you can only fake numbers for so long, and then it comes, the gods of the copybook headings, with blood and terror return. I was reading yesterday that poem by Rudyard Kipling, and it said, we listen to the gods of the marketplaces who promised us all of these wonderful things. And then we had the promise of abundance for all. And so we robbed selected Peter to pay for selected Paul. And what happened? Even though we had lots of money, there was nothing our money could buy, meaning inflation. Right now, last night, I did an episode where I talked to somebody who was it? Where was she from, Stu? Do you remember the guest I had on TV last night?
Heritage, right?
Yeah, Heritage Foundation. And I asked her about this new, economic...
Modern monetary theory.
Yeah, modern monetary theory.
Did I do this interview or did you?
I can barely remember. But anyway, modern monetary theory, which is basically government can print as much as it wants. It doesn't need to borrow anymore. This is a song to anybody who is a socialist. Wait, I don't have to borrow money? We can just print it? Yes. This is a new wrap package of something that is old and rotten inside. That's hyperinflation. That always ends in hyperinflation. But I'm afraid there's too many people in Washington who are going to start convincing themselves this can be done, and we're all going to be the losers. Please consider gold or silver now. Please, please, please consider gold or silver now. I don't know when it comes, but it is going to come. Gold and silver may be your lifeline for your family. 10%. Take it out of your, you know, IRA or whatever and invest it through your IRA in gold or silver. They can help you do that at Goldline. Call them now. They're waiting for your call at 866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. Justin Haskins, he's the executive editor of the Heartland Institute at heartland.org. You can follow him at Justin T. Haskins. Welcome to the program, Justin.
It's great to be with you.
So let's talk about the candidates. Somebody said to me, who would you vote for if you had a gun to your head and had to vote for one of these people? I think I might have said Elizabeth Warren, because she's so unlikable. I just don't think she could get anything done. However, I don't know. I'm surprised that she's doing as well as she is. She has a pact with Bernie Sanders. Are they cut from the same socialist cloth, do you believe?
Yeah, probably. To be fair, I think that 80% of the candidates are probably cut from the same socialist cloth. But
right.
I think that those two, the fact that one's from Vermont, one's from Massachusetts, they've worked with each other on a lot of different things. I think that they both have the same kind of animus towards corporations and towards banks, especially. Elizabeth Warren is just, I mean, she hates banks. She hates bankers. She hates the whole financial institution, the whole financial industry. So I do think that they are cut from the same cloth. I think they also both know that there is no way that either of them can win while they're both in the race.
Right.
Which is really important for them to understand. If they've learned anything from what happened with Donald Trump, and I know that you guys remember the Donald Trump primary.
Yes.
What we learned from the Donald Trump primary is that one guy who has a following, a loyal following, can beat the field, even though the field, any one of those members of the field could probably beat him one-on-one. But if you have devotions divided amongst that group of people, there's no way to beat, you know, the one person, Donald Trump. In this case, it might be Joe Biden. It's somebody who can classify themselves as being a little bit more moderate, a little more sane. Maybe it's Mayor Pete. I don't know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody like that. If the far left wing, socialist wing of that party can't rally around one person, then whoever emerges as being the so-called moderate, which isn't really going to be a moderate, but that's how they're going to classify themselves, that person is going to win. So the socialists have to know that. So this is all going to come down to ego. Can they back out of the race? Can they do it? I mean, John Kasich was apparently mentally incapable of getting out of that race.
Right.
So there are some people who just will not get out no matter what.
Right. Do you think Bernie Sanders is that guy?
I think Bernie Sanders would get out of the race if he had to. I do.
Before it's too late?
Before it's too late. But the thing with Bernie Sanders is he has some of the most loyal, passionate people behind him.
Right. But if he steers them to an Elizabeth Warren, he could actually make an impact get the nominee.
That's potentially true. But I think that Bernie Sanders, he spent a lot of time with Elizabeth Warren. He knows how unlikable she is.
Yes.
Can you imagine Elizabeth Warren being the candidate? I mean, she's like, She's maybe more unlikable than Hillary Clinton.
I think she has everything except the history of corruption that everybody knows.
True. She's like grown in a lab to lose to Donald Trump, though.
She really is. She really is. Yeah. That's why I said if I had to vote for one of them, I'd vote for Elizabeth Warren.
She's not even from a state that helps. I mean, there's nothing about her that helps. She's incredibly unlikable. There's that stupid Native American thing that's going to follow her around forever.
She should get the Native American vote, though. At least one 1,024th.
Right. Yes.
Right. All right. All 10 people.
Back in just a second.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Right now, anyone who has a mortgage or is buying a home, you have an incredible opportunity right now. Interest rates are dropping again, so we have a chance to lock up a fixed low-rate interest mortgage. That's going to make the world of difference in the future. Let's not dismiss a 4%. If you have a mortgage over 4% or you're in a variable rate loan, you should call American Financing for a mortgage review right now. They can help you within 10 minutes, a phone call of 10 minutes. It might save you tens of thousands of dollars over the term of your loan. You got to look at your whole financial picture, and they'll help you do that. They'll look over credit cards and everything else. Maybe you should consolidate into a fixed rate that is around 4% as well. The money that you can save every month may mean the difference of survival and real struggle in the future. Call them now, 800-906-2440, 800-906-2440, AmericanFinancing.net.
Tonight is a night Ilhan Omar special. Go to blazetv.com, use the code GLEN20 today only, and get $20 off.
Ilhan Omar.
Tomorrow we're going to have a lot to talk about. I mean, a ton to talk about. And you want to be up to speed, you need to watch the Ilhan Omar special tonight. It's an hour-long special. At 5 p.m. only on Blaze TV, blazetv.com/Glenn. If you use the promo code GLEN20, you're going to get $20 off. So make sure you join us today. Be a part of the team that I think is changing the way television and radio and everything else is done. You get Mark Levin. Why are you laughing at that?
You're right. Just no one else would make a song like this. So it is changing the way television is done.
Right. So wait until you hear the other songs. Tonight's special. We have lots of songs trying to explain the Ilhan Omar mess.
Ilhan Omar.
So you don't want to miss that tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun and very important that you see it, and we'll be able to talk about it tomorrow. Join us now, blazetv.com, blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code GLEN20, and you'll save $20.
It's going to be interesting to see what the reaction is on this one, because, you know, it's easy to keep talking about Ilhan Omar and saying that there's just hateful people who are saying hateful things about her because of the color of her skin, which has literally nothing to do with this at all. Because when you really look at the facts of the matter, you can make this sort of argument maybe that, well, not every single piece of it is proven. It's why you keep saying, you know, this needs to go to a grand jury. Parts of it, though, are proven, and we're going to show you all the documents that do prove it. It's just interesting to see, because you can't dismiss it after seeing all this evidence. You can't dismiss it and say, well, this is just an attack on the squad.
Have we ever had something this buttoned up? I mean, we had a lot of evidence on the Tides Foundation. I mean, 1,000 pages. We had a ton on George Soros, Van Jones. But I'm not sure we had anything this buttoned up.
Yeah, I mean, some of it is completely buttoned up.
Right.
I mean, some of it, she's
about 60% of it is verified by people who disagree with us 100%.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of, because some of that's the criminal stuff. But even some of the crazier sort of allegations that when we started this, I was like, come on, that can't possibly be true, is backed up by, at the very least, massive, you know, scrolls of social media posts that indicate
from them.
So like they're posting on their own pages that not Omar, but people in her life, other people around, indicating that all of this is true. And then add on to that the fact that major media organizations have gone to them and said, hey, this is weird. What do you say to explain yourself? And she says, nothing.
Like, well, she'll say, like, oh, this is just a crazy attack. Yeah.
Islamophobia.
Right. And she's trying the defense of Islamophobia, right. But there's way too much here stacked against that.
Way too much. And you will see it all tonight, 5 o'clock only on Blaze TV.
A lot of more.
Now, she had a problem yesterday in the House. Her and Rashida Tlaib made a move for the BDS movement. Mm. And the BDS movement is the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel. She wants to make sure that we are not supporting Israel, that we cut them off at their knees because they have stolen the land from the Palestinians. Here is Rashida Tlaib on the BDS movement. Listen.
Our right to free speech is being threatened with this resolution. It sets a dangerous precedent because it attempts to delegitimize a certain people's political speech and to send a message that our government can and will take action against speech it doesn't like. Madam Speaker, the Supreme Court has time and time again recognized that expressive conduct is protected by the Constitution. From burning a flag to baking a cake.
To baking a cake.
I can't even. Is she really saying that she's complaining that people's voices are going away because of their mm-hmm. political views?
Mm-hmm.
She's doing that?
Yeah, she's doing that. Yeah. What? I don't understand your problem.
You really don't understand?
No, I don't understand. What are you saying?
Because it seems like I've noticed conservatives' voices being targeted for these things.
No, that's just, and that's crazy conspiracy theorists.
And ask, I'm sure she's against things like the Fairness Doctrine and others.
Of course.
That is a fascinating one.
Yeah.
They really will say.
May I just say, Islamophobia. Islamophobia.
What about?
Well, Islamophobia. I mean, I think we all know that, you know, people like you are Islamophobic, and so you should be shut down and not listened to.
Mm.
You should be drummed out. You know, people like you and Robert Spencer, you know, a guy who used to, you know, give counsel to presidents, was one of the leading scholars on Islamicists, not Islam, Islamicists. And he's such an Islamophobic, according to Kerr, that he can't even post anything on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. God forbid he ever publishes a book or speaks anywhere. So you're an Islamophobic because you didn't hear what she was saying.
I guess
she
not.
Can't. She worries that people's speech is being infringed.
And again, she's like, well, this is the government cracking down on speech. How exactly? It's a resolution that basically did nothing. It just said that they denounced, they condemned the BDS movement.
Right. Not shut it down.
No, it just condemned it.
Now, we don't agree with it. We think it's really, really bad.
I think you can make an argument that it's sort of a pointless thing to do with Congress. Like,
yeah,
they're just saying, hey, we don't like this thing.
Here's what I would.
I mean, it was obviously just to get people on the record.
Correct. Here's what I would really have liked. This is Chuck and Nancy just a short while ago talking about the Israel boycott. Now, listen to this.
When the world treats everybody one way and the Jew or the Jewish state another way, there's only one word for it. Anti-Semitism. Let us call out the BDS movement for what it is.
We must also be vigilant against bigoted or dangerous ideologies masquerading as policy. And that includes BDS.
Now, they both said that when they were standing at AIPAC. They're in with the Jews, you know. They said that when they were standing in front of AIPAC. But it would have been really interesting to hear them say that to Rashida Tlaib or to Ilhan Omar as they proposed this BDS sanctions against Israel. If I can quote Chuck Schumer, we have to call it what it is, anti-Semitism. So why wouldn't they call those who proposed that anti-Semitic? I seem to remember that they also failed to call Ilhan Omar anti-Semitic in the past, which is almost like they're afraid of care. Almost.
It almost seems like that.
Almost.
Though it certainly can't be. Yeah, I mean, this is not a surprise, right, from this group of congresswomen and men who voted for. I think it was 17 total who voted against it. And there were a few Republicans who voted either against it or present because I think just the process and saying, why are we voting to condemn things like this? Just sort of like a stance on that, although it obviously passed overwhelmingly. You wonder if the Democrats are going to continue to tolerate the squad and their squad mates, because there is a pretty significant movement within the Democratic Party to say, hey, you know, number one, you're taking the four people that make us look the worst and throwing them on television 25,000 times a day and letting them lead the party. Is that a good move if you're a Democrat? I know if I were a Democrat, I would not want Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez representing my movement.
But the good news is you're not a Democrat, and so we'll keep that to ourselves.
Well, we get to celebrate it.
Yes, because I love it. It is a gift that never stops.
Oh, it's
a buffet. It gives new every day.
It is like you go into one of those buffet places that's really good, like in one of those casinos where it's like a $50 buffet, and you just eat every single little bit of it. That is the combination between the squad and the Democratic primary, where you have 25 socialists arguing with each other to see who can be the most socialist, and then all of them lose to the most prominent members of the party, the squad. This is a dream. Think about this, Glenn. For what, 100 years, Republicans tried to say, you know who are a bunch of socialists? Democrats. And every single time until this last couple of years, they would say, well, no, they're not. How dare you? That's racist. What is socialist? There's no socialism here. And now the people leading their party are admitted Democratic socialists.
So in the Mueller hearings today, did you hear the first congressman said, I know the Democratic and the socialists on the other side. And nobody booed. Nobody said, here, out of order. They're accepting it now.
Mm-hmm.
They're just accepting it. And it's wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. Now, you will know if they have had enough of the squad. I will tell you, if the Democrats don't clean out their own party, they will be Jeremy Corbyn's Labor Party by 2024. Guarantee, no questions asked. They will be so extreme, so racist, so anti-Semitic by 2024 that Jeremy Corbyn may even feel a little uncomfortable. If they want to clean out and begin to send a message to people who are socialist radicals, hey, sit down. Their last chance may be Ilhan Omar. Because here they have, as you will see tonight, you have felonies. And while she deserves every opportunity to be innocent, presumed innocent, until proven guilty, we're not here to prove her guilty. We're here to show you the evidence that should be brought to a grand jury. The Minnesota Attorney General should be ashamed of himself or herself. You know, look this up. I bet you the Attorney General is a George Soros person. Do you remember that when he put all the Attorney Generals
the
in?
The SOS? Was that the... Or no, that was the Secretary of State project.
See if the Attorney General was funded by George Soros, I wonder. But there's a reason. I don't know what it is that the Attorney General in Minnesota is not going for this. Maybe it's fear. Maybe. I don't know. But it's certainly not based on fact. And we'll show you that tonight only on Blaze TV, blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn20 and receive $20 off.
A lot of more.
Sorry, have that in your head again all day today. Every week I tell you about a new cyber criminal plot that threatens your... No, go ahead. You found it?
I forgot. You're Attorney General of Minnesota, right?
Oh,
it's Keith Ellison.
It's Keith Ellison.
I forgot about that. And by the way, he did. George Soros did donate $100,000 to Ellison's campaign.
It's Keith Ellison.
I forgot about that.
That's got to be added in tonight's program.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. All right. This week, a new report reveals how some new apps can infect your phone, take your money, control your device. One suspicious app had more than 10 million downloads before it was revealed to be tricking people into paying for what would otherwise be free. When personal information is exposed, someone can use that to commit identity theft, and that's why LifeLock exists. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number on sale for the dark web, and if they detect your information, any of your information, is out there and unsecured, they send you an alert. Now, nobody can prevent all identity thefts or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but if they see that threat that you have missed, they send you the alert, they ask you, is this you? If not, they have a trained professional here in America that is going to take care of it. Now, get 10% off your first year of protection by using promo code BACK. That's promo code BACK at 800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK. Or go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code BACK and get 10% off. That's LifeLock.com, promo code BACK, LifeLock.com, or 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code BACK.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
You know, this is the Mueller report is just... It's like a really bad Godfather 2. Let's say they just took the old clips from Godfather 1, repackaged it, and said it was completely a brand new movie. It's not. It's that we already know everything the Democrats are doing.
And they put older and tired, more tired actors in it.
Yes, yes. So we have that going for us today. We're talking about Ilhan Omar tonight on our special. There's one thing that we want to share with you. You know, the president is so racist because he said, we'll send you back where you came from, or you could go back. And everybody says that's racist. Here's Ilhan Omar in, I think, 2012 on Twitter.
She said, we are citizens. She was fighting with someone about culture. She said, we are citizens and can't be deported. Why don't we deport you to wherever you came from? Now, we were told by the journalist that it's automatic racism if you say
correct.
That.
Rashida Tlaib also said to deport Donald Trump.
Yep, wanted to deport Donald Trump. I find it interesting, too, if you look back at Ilhan Omar's tweets, there's another thing she points out. What are we here? We always say the same thing. We're a melting pot of cultures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not to Ilhan Omar. She actually says no. She says she totally disagrees that America is a melting pot of cultures. She could be saying that she totally disagrees, period. America is a melting pot of cultures.
But didn't she go on to say something about Saudi Arabia and Somalia? The only difference is freedom of religion.
Yep. The only difference between Saudi Arabia or Somalia or Thailand, she says the only difference is America is a freedom of religion. We must accept
freedom of speech, freedom of press. I don't know if she caught this,
functioning government.
The Saudis, you know, chopped up a journalist for saying things they didn't like. I don't think that sets us apart, too, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Don't miss the special tonight. Ilhan Omar, only on blazetv.com/Glenn. Promo code Glenn20.